In 2018, I hope that every Christian in our church at both campuses gets a fever. And because of this fever, I hope that our hearts get enlarged, that tears come to our eyes, and it causes us to fall to our knees in prayer. Now you might say, Pastor Blair, first Sunday in 2018, what sort of New Year's blessing is that? What sort of fever are you speaking? Well, I'm speaking of this, a fever for a lost and dying world. We are praying as leaders that the Lord raises our, as leaders as well as everyone else's, outreach temperature so that we think more about, we pray more for, and we speak the message of salvation more often to the lost. And so I hope that you and I get a fever in 2018 and end up raising our outreach temperature. It's a good time of year to review why we exist as a church. And so on the screen, I have our mission statement as a church. I'd love for us to read this together out loud. So here we go. To glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ, who are rooted deep with God, rooted deep with one another, and reaching wide into the world. So that's why we exist as a church. All those biblical mandates come right out of Scripture. And so as elders and pastors, especially the last 2 or 3 years, but certainly more concentrated in the last year, we've been looking at the different pillars of our church, rooted deep with God, rooted deep with one another, and reaching wide into the world, and then looking at the ministries that we offer and our commitments and saying, is what we're offering and what we're doing matching up with what we're supposed to be doing, these biblical mandates. And so we've rated ourselves over the last year, and so I want to share those ratings with you. And so I'm going to use it in temperature terms. Okay, so let's go ahead and put up the scale on the screen. So if you think of cold, cool, warm, and hot, here's different ratings that we would give ourselves as a church. In terms of being rooted deep with God through Scripture, we would say we're hot. This 30 years ago, this is why the church began, was to have a Bible-teaching church in Findlay where the Scripture is opened up. And so I hope that it's quite obvious, not only in our services, but in our different groups, and from children on up to adults, that Scripture is central. If you think about being rooted deep with one another in relationships, we'd give ourselves a warm, maybe even up to high warm. There's a lot of good things happening. Christians are loving each other and providing for each other and visiting and sharing meals and praying for and texting each other, how you doing, how's it going, caring for each other. It's great. We can grow in that area, but I think there's a lot of great things happening. Thirdly, when it comes to reaching wide into the world, specifically through missions giving, I would say our church is hot. When I came 7 years ago, I sort of joined in with where the church was already going, wanting to raise the level of giving towards missions. And so when I came, the church was giving 6% towards missions. Now we're up like 19.5% to 20%. So that's fantastic. And you can see that in the different missions initiatives that we have. In terms of reaching wide into the world through missions going, we would say we're about a warm, maybe a low warm. Lots of things are happening there, but more could happen. You know, we've sent some people to different regions of the world, but we can increase in that, but some good stuff's happening. But when it comes to local outreach, reaching wide into our community, we would rate ourselves probably a low warm. Now, I know there's a lot of things happening. Individuals are reaching out, and we do some outreach events, but in terms of how we compare in other areas and what we could do as far as local outreach and reaching wide in our community, we've got some, the temperature needs to be raised in those areas. And so we're excited about what that could look like as we all join together as Christians to be used of God to make that happen. So before we go any farther, since the scale is on the screen, how would you as an individual, how would I as an individual, rate ourselves at this time? Are you cold, cool, warm, hot? A couple of questions to ask you. How often have we prayed for unsaved family members and friends sort of through a week? Also, how many opportunities have we had to share the gospel message, like the gospel message came out of our mouths, in the last 6 months? How many times? So based on those couple of quick diagnostic questions, where would you rate yourself? Sort of take a reading at this point. So based on where we are now, how can we tick ourselves up a degree or two so that we keep rising in our temperature for outreach, individually as well as the church? And so today's message is intended to set the vision and direction for our church for the next year, Lord willing, specifically on how we can all get a fever and have our outreach temperatures raised by God's grace. So go ahead and turn to your Bibles, as we ought to. We're going to open up Scripture today. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. John 20, verses 19 through 23. Now keep your finger there in your Bible. We're going to have it on the screen so that we can all read it together, but keep your Bibles open so that we can go back and be referring to the verses throughout the message, okay? All right, let's all look up at the screen and let's read together. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." Thank you. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we pause for prayer, recognizing that we can't understand Scripture. We can't carry it out unless your Spirit leads us. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. And how we have a chance again to hear your word and to be reminded that you want to use us in this world. So speak today and guide us to be faithful to you in this area of reaching others for your name. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, today as we talk about raising our outreach temperature, we're going to talk about four flames to do that, okay? So the first flame is this. The confidence that Jesus is alive. The confidence that Jesus is alive. If you look there in your Bibles, verses 19 and 20, you see that a remarkable event has happened. The disciples were locked away in an upper room in Jerusalem for fear that what had happened to their Lord, that he was captured, crucified, and laid in a tomb, was going to happen to them. And so they were hiding away. But something miraculous and marvelous happened that turned them from scaredy cats in Jerusalem to bold lions just a few weeks later, preaching the gospel in the very city where Jesus had been crucified, preaching his resurrection. And so that was his resurrection, that Jesus is alive. So we see in the Bible here that there are multiple witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. If you glance up to verse 18, you'll notice that Mary comes announcing, "I have seen the Lord." So Mary and the other women who went to the tomb saw the Lord. And then in verse 19, the disciples who were gathered in that room, Jesus came and stood in their midst. So you have multiple witnesses. Also, you have his tangible presence. In verse 20, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus did not rise in the eyes of faith of his disciples. No. He was raised from the dead. The tomb is empty. He's tangibly standing in front of them and saying, "Touch me and see. Do you have anything here to eat?" It says in Luke 24. So ghosts don't eat. So that was Jesus' point. Look, it's really me. He was miraculously raised from the dead as our living Savior. But Jesus also gives to his disciples not only the confidence of his resurrection, but he gives them something. Look in verses 19 and 21. There's a phrase, a greeting that Jesus gives two times. Somebody say it out loud. What does he say? "Peace be with you." So he grants them his peace, you know, resurrection peace. Think of how turbulent their hearts were. Our Lord has been crucified. We're next. And then he comes and stands in their midst, and he gives them this greeting of peace, his very presence with them. They were fearful. But God calmed their fears through the presence of Christ. So the fear that we have for witnessing, and I can even anticipate just some mental objections this morning. You're like, oh, so the whole, we're talking about outreach this year? First of all, haven't we heard this before? And secondly, I'm scared. How, what are we going to do? Well, we all get scared when we talk about that, but don't worry, the Lord will see us through. And so the fear that we have for witnessing can be replaced with confidence and peace because of the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth and his personal presence with us through the Holy Spirit. And so we can have that confidence as we go out. Pastor James White, in his commentary on this passage, said, Jesus encountered a group of frightened disciples behind locked doors and gave them what they needed most, himself. He showed them his hands and his side in order to dispel any doubt that they were seeing anything but their crucified Lord. And so we can have confidence that Jesus is alive. And when we have confidence in that, we want other people to know this living Savior and all that he offers for eternal life. And so that can be a flame to raise my temperature for outreach. Here's a second flame. By the way, is it getting hot in here? Second flame, the commission of Jesus to reach wide, a command, a compulsion, a propulsion to go out and share the gospel. We see that in verse 21. Did you know that every Christian, whether having been a Christian for a year or maybe decades, whether a child or someone in their retirement, every one of us has a grand mission for our life. Now, the world says that your grand mission is to be the very best at what you do. And so you are to be the best mom, the best business leader, the best athlete, the best chef, the best musician, the best artist and best architect, the best insurance agent, the best software developer there is, and you're to get on top of everybody else. That's your grand mission in life. Well, no. If we are Christians, we are to be faithful to the grand mission in life, which is the mission of God, as a mom and as a business leader and athlete and chef and musician and artist and architect and insurance agent and software developer. You see, there's a difference in thinking there. So, for instance, I know teachers, Christian teachers, who use their platform in the classroom to do their best to represent Christ. And so, at appropriate times, they will snatch up opportunities to share the gospel. So, for instance, I'll give an example. Let's say a child would ask in a classroom, what's Christmas really all about? So the Christian teacher says, bingo, here we go, and shares the gospel that way. See, these teachers that I know who do this, they don't see themselves as teachers who are Christians just on Sunday. They see themselves as followers of Jesus Christ who happen to have the vocation and calling to be a teacher. And there's a difference in thinking there. Do you get that? I know that you do. So I'm a student, but I'm a Christian student. I'm a whatever you are, or whatever you want to be, I'm a Christian first. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a representative of Jesus right where I are. Because here's the fact. We need to use the platform of our jobs to give us access to people to tell them the good news that Jesus has secured and offers forgiveness for us. You have access to people that nobody else has as a Christian. In your realm of study or profession, you can reach those people. We have spheres of influence, and so God wants to use you. Yes, little old you, Findlay, Ohio. Yes, you. The way he's used normal people throughout all the centuries. So God, and this is a remarkable fact. If you look at these two verses on the screen, Jesus is saying, as, you can go back one, as, thank you, nope, the two verses up there under the second point. Thank you. As, so in like manner, to the same extent that the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. Isn't that incredible? Think of the divine economy, and the Father has sent the eternal Son into the world to witness to salvation, and to provide salvation, obviously. And now that same witness is to carry out through us Yes, us. This is absolutely remarkable. So there's implications that we've been commissioned with Christ's authority as ambassadors. Now, a lot of people say, you know, I just want to give my life over to something significant. I want to do something that impacts people with life. I want to leave my mark in this world. Well, what better impact can we have than to be a representative of the Savior? And that he would bring people into a relationship with himself and spend eternity in everlasting bliss with him. And God will use us to do that. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you into the world as my witnesses. Now, to back this up scripturally, John 13:20, you can flip over there in your Bible if you like, but it's also on the screen. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," which means you can bank on this, "he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." So ambassadors represent the king in a foreign land. So think of this. When people hear the gospel from us and they receive Christ, not receiving us, they're ultimately receiving God, his salvation plan. When people reject us or reject the gospel, they're not rejecting us, they're ultimately rejecting the God who is reaching out his hand out to them. See that? So it takes the pressure off. We can have confidence. We can be confident in the commission that we've received. But I think it's helpful to see what a grand commission this is and how exciting this is. So, for instance, I saw this video online a while back, but there's a British pastor named Jay John. And, you know, sometimes as pastors, people will inevitably ask you when you're meeting someone, well, what do you do? What do you do? So oftentimes when we say, well, I'm a pastor, sort of the conversation just sort of shuts down. It's like, well, you're weird. Get away from me. You know, I don't reach into my soul. I'm not into that type of stuff. So he got a little bit creative, snatching up some opportunities to have some fun with that question. So he tells a story of how he got into an airplane and sat beside a woman who was in the seat next to him, and they struck up a conversation. And so he says to her, "What do you do?" And she explains what she does. And then eventually, as conversations go, she asks him, "What do you do?" And so here was his reply. "Well, I work for a global enterprise. We have outlets in nearly every country of the world." And she said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah. We've got hospitals and hospices, homeless shelters. We do marriage work. We have orphanages. We do feeding programs and educational programs. We do all sorts of justice and reconciliation work. Basically, we look after people from birth to death." And she's astounded. And she says, "Really? What is it called?" And he says, "The church." Do you see? Every Christian has been called into a global enterprise, a sovereign God who's building his kingdom. And so my little itty-bitty part of the kingdom is not insignificant, even though it's small. I'm part of something bigger and grander that God has been doing throughout all of the ages, and this is our time in history to contribute to God's kingdom. And so when we think about having the confidence of the resurrection of Christ and the commission of Jesus, you're not just out there doing some simple task that has no eternal impact. We're impacting people's souls for all of eternity. And that's something to help raise our temperature. Let's move on now to a third flame, and that is the empowering of the Holy Spirit to reach wide. The empowering of the Holy Spirit to reach wide. Verses 22 and 23, you see that there. Jesus breathes on them as a way to impart the Spirit, and he gives them a commission. So we've learned about the Holy Spirit in the last few months. We learned that the Spirit is our forever helper. He's our Bible teacher. He's the world's prosecutor. So he brings conviction of sin. So before we're on the scene with the gospel message, the Spirit's already been at work in people's hearts, convicting of sin, showing their need for a Savior. And he's also our abundant life giver. But beyond that, he's our empowerer. The Spirit is our empowerer. He gives us power to be a Christ witness. So in Acts 1:8, which brings this out more plainly, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, in this particular context in John 20, Jesus is giving an initial deposit of the Spirit in preparation for what would happen in Acts chapter 2, a full outpouring of the Spirit on what's known as the day of Pentecost. You can read about it in Acts 2 if you like. But now, believers since that time have received the deposit of the Spirit upon confessing Jesus as their Savior. And so we have the power of the Spirit. The Spirit himself lives inside of us. God wants us to open our mouths so he can let the sound of the gospel come out of us. He empowers us for preaching the good news. And so that's what verse 23 is all about. We're to go proclaim forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Now, a quick little explanation here, because verse 23, just sort of in a quick reading, makes it look like Jesus has imparted the authority to forgive sins, not only to the apostles, but to us. Do we have the authority to announce someone has, you know, can we forgive their sins? Well, something that's more helpful here, as Warren Wiersbe points out, is that a more literal translation of this verse goes like this. Whosoever sins you forgive shall have already been forgiven them, and whosoever sins you retain shall have already not been forgiven them. The form of that second word in terms of already been forgiven or already not been forgiven means a past action with continuing effects. Meaning, if I go up and ask somebody, have you received Jesus as your Savior? Yes, I have. Well, at that point, the Christian can say, then your sins have been forgiven based on the promise of what God offers in Jesus Christ. So Warren Wiersbe goes on to give an explanation. He says, all the Christian can do is announce the message of forgiveness. God performs the miracle of forgiveness. If sinners will believe in Christ, we can authoritatively declare to them that their sins have been forgiven. But we're not the ones who provide the forgiveness. We're just proclaiming that this is how forgiveness is granted by God. Okay? So hopefully that's helpful. So, when we think about going out to do the work of evangelism, man, if this was just all my own effort, I'd be like the disciples. I'd stay locked up in my closet because I'm not going to do that. But if I've been empowered by the Spirit, ha-ha, game changer. I'm on God's mission, and I'm using God's power to get the job done. You see that? And so that's what we're called to do. And if you think about the explosion, have you ever thought about this? Okay, some of you are falling asleep. I need something here to draw you in on this, okay? Hey, I just tell the truth. Think about the explosion of Christianity since AD 30. It's incredible how from this little minority movement in Jerusalem, it has gone throughout the entire world. The Roman Empire, with it just in a matter of, you know, 30 years or so, and then throughout the entire world. Who does that? The Holy Spirit does that. And so we're part of a global enterprise that's bigger than just you and me. So three flames thus far, the confidence that Jesus is alive, the commission of Jesus to reach wide, and the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit to reach wide. And then the fourth flame is the initiative of the whole church to reach wide in 2018. We're better together than we are individually. I know that you know that. It's scary out there by ourselves. But if we're all doing it together, hey, now we've got momentum. And we're part of a team. So we can mention some highlights from 2017, and I'll do that. God's done a lot of good work. We had 22 baptisms between both campuses in 2017. About 11 people, I know I'm missing probably a few, but 11 people went on three different mission trips to Haiti and two out to Colombia. We have about 33 family groups across both campuses, multiple leaders, apprentice leaders that are being trained. The growth of our Lighthouse campus has been wonderful. There's been over 20 people who this year said, you know, I received Christ as my Savior between our two campuses. Lots of gospel conversations happening one-on-one. We've had events like Vacation Bible School and the Veterans Lunch and different places for the gospel to go out. And then there's been discipleship training opportunities for youth leaders and family group leaders and community group leaders and teachers and all that. And so the church is being built up through the Word and through the Holy Spirit, okay? And we praise God for what he's done in 2017. Not to mention it was our 30th. Not to mention it, but I'm going to mention it anyways. Our 30th anniversary where we celebrated what God has done all these years. But now, 2018. And so here's the vision for 2018, Lord willing, of course. I want you to imagine with me. Imagine that it's December 30th of 2018. You're like, no way, I don't want to skip summer and spring. Why are we going all the way to where we just are right now? But imagine it's that Sunday. We're gathered together again to celebrate. Imagine that your family member for whom you've been praying and have had an opportunity to share the gospel is sitting beside you that day because they've received Christ. Imagine baptisms on that day where people give testimony that I was far from God, but now I've trusted him and I'm declaring to the world that I'm a follower of Jesus. Imagine a greater commitment to serving our community where Findlay Evangelical Free Church just isn't known as that building over there by the Little Red Schoolhouse or the Youth for Christ building on the west side of town, but known as a place that cares for the community and is beginning to make inroads into people's lives and providing for community needs. Imagine having your heart warmed with God's compassion for lost people. You're not there today. Maybe you're in the cold area, but imagine being in the warm area at the end of 2018. Imagine growing closer to Jesus as you learn to share the gospel confidently and to know him better as you're doing his work. And then imagine having a strong sense of purpose. This is the purpose for my life. Because Jesus has commissioned you. He's commissioned me. That's what we're hoping for 2018 as we look to raise our outreach temperature. And so here's what we're doing and planning to accomplish this reaching wide mission for 2018. By the way, as church leaders, we've only put some things down in sketch form. We're looking for all of us to fill in the details. And so first of all, we're going to pray. We're going to pray God would raise our temperature, that he'd open up doors of opportunity. Second of all, we're going to preach and teach. So for instance, January 21st, I'm starting a series out of Jonah called God's Colossal Compassion, where we're going to see the radical compassion of God for the lost of the lost, and that that would be in our hearts too. We're going to prepare. We're going to be offering different training opportunities throughout the year. Okay, so I'll mention a couple of those in a moment. But here's one of the largest ways or the biggest initiatives we're going to do to help prepare us to reach wide in 2018. We've mentioned this to the church membership back in September, October timeframe, but in the past years, we anticipated Pastor Dave Cass's retirement. We knew that we'd have a position open to be able to bring another pastor in. And so we thought through our different options, but in thinking through where we see ourselves going as a church in terms of reaching out and launching new works, we thought, what type of a pastor is going to best help us to reach that goal? And so through prayer, talking, different options, we decided on a community outreach pastor. And so the community outreach pastor is responsible for, will be responsible for, training us in evangelism, in assimilation, helping people get into the family life of the church, and then church expansion. We're not hiring this person to do evangelism, to do assimilation, to do expansion, but to train us in a greater way to see that happen. And so we've been interviewing candidates. We have two interviews this particular weekend with a couple of great candidates, and so hope to narrow that down to one candidate by midweek and move forward with that. In terms of congregational care, that's something that the church body can all pick up. And so Pastor Dave's responsibilities are being meted out amongst the pastors and elders. But for all of us, we're all to care for each other. So if you're ever wondering, you know, so-and-so's in the hospital, should I give them a call? Yes, you should. Okay, that's us ministering to one another and caring for each other. So then we're going to practice it. That's going to help us prepare for outreach, but to practice it. Because it's one thing to say, well, forget that point. Let's move on. Practicing. Let's not just talk about it. Let's do it. So here's some specific opportunities. So April 14th through the 21st, by God's grace, we're going to send another team to Colombia to do evangelism. And Colombia, South America, not Colombia, South Carolina, which is what I say sometimes. Colombia, South America. And it's an opportunity to go share the gospel with people. And I've been to Colombia, so don't worry. You will stay in a nice hotel. It's not a backwards place. It's a very developed city where you'll be going to. Okay, so don't worry about that. The food is great. You'll be very warmly welcomed by the Colombian people, certainly by the Colombian Christians. And so you can just check off those, obstacles at this point, okay? Because I had the same thing, but I was able to overcome that, thankfully. So it's an opportunity to go. But here's a neat thing, is the missionaries, Doug and Cindy Tankersley, who are in Colombia, are actually home on furlough right now in Illinois. They're going to be here on March 4th, right here in Findlay. And you're going to get to meet them in our services. They're going to provide an evangelism training after church that day. And so that's open for everybody. And so we can learn how to share the gospel from Doug and Cindy. They're a great team. So, Colombia in April. Closer than that is our February 17th mobile food pantry. You'll see that in the bulletin. And this is an opportunity right here in Findlay, actually right here in this building, to meet people and talk with people and care for people and learn their story and perhaps pray with them, maybe share the gospel with them. But it's a great chance to reach wide right here on our own soil. So February 17th. And then the next one is January 20th. You can go ahead and put that next slide up, please. January 20th is an important date. Imagine all of us having an opportunity to shape the future of Findlay Evangelical Free Church. Having the opportunity to make plans to make an impact for eternity in Findlay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a pancake breakfast that day. We're not above bribery to get you here. So pancake breakfast that day. By the way, we're looking for somebody to cook pancakes, so if you'd like to do that, let me know. And then we're going to talk for about an hour. What are your ideas for outreach in Findlay? You work in different sectors of our town and county. What needs do you see? What could we be doing as a church? And so as we discuss all these things, there'll be some ideas that rise to the top, and then we'll put further plans to those. There'll also be some people with a heart for outreach who will rise to the top, and then we can help lead through different people, different ways that we can be in the community. So January 20th, come on out, and let's have some brainstorming gospel impact discussions together. So here's what I'd like to say in closing. We've been talking about raising our outreach temperature as a church. Don't get me wrong, there's good stuff happening, but we can increase all the more with these four flames. In this passage of John chapter 20, I think I can make a pretty good case by cross-referencing Luke chapter 24 that it wasn't just the apostles who were in that room with Jesus that day. In fact, we know Thomas was not there. There's a good chance that the women were there. Luke 24:33 tells us that other disciples were there. So what's that mean? It means that when Jesus says, as the Father is sending me, has sent me, so I am sending you, it means that he has sent the normal people. In fact, the apostles themselves, they were tax collectors and fishermen and political revolutionaries. And so these were very normal people whom Jesus trained to send out. So that means that you and me, we can be used of God. As normal and plain and unassuming as we are, God wants to reach people through us. God's not sending the professionals. He's sending us to go and do it. So let me tell you this story. And this story is meant to encourage you to skip church on a Sunday morning, okay? So I told you about my grandmother before. Her name is Dorothy Hayward. And she's 97 years old. She recently moved into an assisted living place. She was on her own for just up until that point in an apartment. About 3 years ago, my grandma skipped church on a Sunday morning. And she went and got her hair cut. Because ladies, you know how important that is. While she's getting her hair cut, she strikes up a conversation with Julie, who's the hairdresser. And knowing my grandma, she'd probably say, "Have you accepted Christ as your Savior?" And so they just talked about what that meant, and my grandmother, who's about 94 at the time, leads Julie to Christ on a Sunday morning when she skipped church, right there in the salon. My grandma's been in assisted living for about 6 weeks. She's already talked with at least four people about their faith in Christ. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Now, if you knew my grandma, she came to Christ in her 50s. No formal education that I know of, certainly no ministry training. She's a farm girl who made it through life, was born in the 20s. And so here she is. My grandma has a fever. She understands that her time is short. I mean, she's 97. But she also understands that everybody else's time around them, around her, is short too. And so this year, it's our prayer that all of us, leaders included, would have a fever, a raised outreach temperature. Let me pray for that right now and commit this time to Lord. I'd invite you to pray too. Would you join me in prayer to ask God that he would do this in our lives? Lord, we're humbled that you would use little old us here in Findlay, Ohio, and beyond to reach people for Christ. And I thank you for a church that takes this seriously. The people are already sharing the gospel. I just pray that it'll happen in a greater way and that you would raise our temperature, not for show, not for applause, but just to be faithful to you and for the good of people around us. So please open up opportunities. We can't do this ourselves. Would you just make it obvious for us to share the good news? Help us to do the hard work of evangelism and to do it for your glory. So please use us. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're just committing our hearts to do that. So we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.